Well, let me tell you, folks, when you're live, you're live. And when your producer's in the bathroom and your co-host is restarting his router, oh my god, it worked! We're live on audio, by the way. Storms on the horizon. All right, well, fingers crossed. I'm mostly using PlayStation View. I mean, I subscribe to multiple of them for cord killers reasons, but the one that I'm actually using when I'm not doing it on purpose is PlayStation View. Well, Sling doesn't have the DVR yet. It's supposed to get it, and they're allowing some people into the beta. But that's the biggest thing, is PlayStation View has the cloud DVR. Oh, no, it happened. Oh, I thought you were gone. Oh, yeah, you're back. Yeah, it is. We live for the ominous, for the portents. It's all about the portents, and it's all I'm going to say. Giving it up for the portents. So, I guess if you just fall totally out, Justin, can you get to the Hangout from your phone? All right, and you can just rejoin audio only, even. Emergency measure. All right, cool. Oh, it'll boost his immune system, except unless you believe science. Yeah. And then turned out that he didn't really have a lot of rigorous science behind that theory. Linus Pauling. Oh, shoot. I forgot to tell Justin. Should we do alternating on these red headlines? We'll see. We'll CES lightning round. Yeah. And then we should probably move a little faster through the top stories than we normally do. Just because there's so much. Yeah. All right. Cool. Well, yeah, let's not tempt fate any longer. Video is active. Video, I was going to say video ho, but then I was afraid that the video would start right as I was saying ho. And be taken out of context. Okay, here we go. Roger, are you prepared? We're going to start a little early. All right. Out of fear. No. Here we go. This is the Daily Tech News for Thursday, January 5th, 2017. I'm Tom Merritt. Justin Robert Young alongside, doing the show a little later in the afternoon. So if you're listening to the audio version later and it just sounds a little cloudier, a little darker, I just got back from CES, Justin. And boy are my buzzword detectors tired. Yeah. Yeah, man. I wrote this up for the weekly post on Patreon, my thoughts on CES. And the short version is there's two conferences now. And it was always this way, but I feel it now more than ever, that there is a media conference where all the companies who don't want to go to the expense of holding their own event or don't think they can get enough reporters to show up like an Apple or Microsoft flock to CES and do a three-day thing where they just throw all their announcements out against the wall. And there's varying versions of media approaches to that, some that work better than others, but some of them are pretty valid. Yeah. Yeah. Now, man, we got to stop talking about CES and start talking about CES with our lightning round. Amazon announced it will open a physical bookstore in Manhattan at some point this year. Nothing to do with CES, I guess, but they just keep opening bookstores, and now in New York, right? Book heaven. Yeah. We'll talk a little bit more about Amazon Voice Services later because there's another announcement, and they're basically everywhere. Xiaomi announced the 4.9mm thick Mi TV 4 with a modular chipset that you can upgrade without having to change out the whole TV screen. Comes to China later this summer for less than $2,000. Yeah, don't start swapping out your cables yet. They still have to finalize it. And Vine will shut down January 17th, after which users will no longer be able to retrieve their archives. So if you want your 6.5-second loops, get them before January 17th. They will continue to be available online as an archive, but you won't be able to pull them out yourself. The app is going to change its name to Vine Camera, and you'll still be able to use it to record 6.5-second looping video, but you'll only be able to publish it to Twitter or save it to your camera roll. Excellent. Now it is time for some top stories. Apple Senior VP Worldwide Marketing Phil Schiller told The Verge that the Apple App Store made $3 billion in revenue in December, its biggest month ever. Pokemon Go was the most downloaded app of the year and the fifth highest grossing app in the App Store. Apple did not share details on how much of this revenue came from subscriptions, but remember last summer is when they changed it so that there are more reasonable subscription terms for everybody. The Chinese market grew 90% year over year for Apple, and coincidentally Thursday, Apple and the New York Times both announced that the New York Times app had been removed from the Chinese App Store back on December 23rd at the request of the Chinese government. Apple's own books and movies have also been blocked in China since last April. So it's not as clear as like Apple gave in to China this time for somebody else. They've also had to block their own services. Yeah, I think this is the New York Times putting some pressure on China and vicariously Apple, trying to get Apple to help them out here. And that this is going to make things very uncomfortable for Apple because, as I mentioned, they've got their own stuff blocked and they've had to walk a very fine line between being seen as subservient, but also not giving up this incredibly lucrative market with its 90% App Store growth, indicative that, hey, even if they can't get all the Apple services and all the apps you can get elsewhere in the world, people are still eating up iPhones at a rate in China. So I imagine Apple is none too pleased with the New York Times for raising this, but at the same time, I see why the New York Times would say, hey, you know what? We just want to provide our brand of journalism in China, and we don't think we shouldn't be allowed to. And like you say, China's got different rules. They've got different laws, and they're saying, no, well, the New York Times doesn't follow our rules, so we can't allow it. Just looking up to see how much Schmapple is trading at right now. You go ahead to the next story. Well, and that is interesting because I imagine the HTC Vive 2 just has this built in. But you watch what HTC did. They were funding, they were accelerating this Chinese company that made the TP-Cast adapter. They allowed it to be sold in China to kind of gauge how well it would sell and keep the supply chain fairly easy to manage. And they must have looked at it and said, wow, you know what? We're getting so many people willing to jump through the hoops to get this thing shipped out of China to wherever they live in the world, and enough people buying it in China that we need to make this available worldwide. Why not? So this feels like a step down the road. And honestly, that arcade game licensing seems like a really smart diversification move for HTC to say, yeah, we want to make it easier for developers to make cool things that you can hold in VR that get tracked, and we want people to have a better headset experience, and eventually we're going to want to bring down that price, but we also want an enterprise play, and the enterprise play is amusement, and making it easy for somebody who's running an arcade to bring in VR without having to worry about negotiating all of the licensing agreements with multiple game makers. Yeah. Razer's shown off a laptop called Project Valerie with three screens. You can count on Razer to do this at every CES. Come up with some concept project that's amazing, and then you make your bet whether they'll actually bring it to market. Like they did the Razer Blade. They did that. Each panel of Project Valerie features 4K resolution for a total of 11,520 by 2160, because it's super wide, with 100% Adobe RGB coverage and NVIDIA G-Sync running off an NVIDIA 1080 chip. The side panels slide behind one another for a body that's 1.5 inches thick. The laptop itself is similar to the Blade Pro otherwise and weighs 12 pounds. Razer says the laptop is meant for engineers, developers, 3D artists, and anyone else who needs multiple screens, which, yes, includes gamers. Razer intends to bring it to market, but there are no details yet, so we'll see about that. It's what Razer does. I actually don't hold this against Razer. They're not a company that comes out and like just wants to get a lot of press attention and then folds the product and comes out with something else. They'll bring them. They have brought them to market in the past. They don't always bring them to the market, though. So this is their way of testing it out, saying, okay, I think it's really interesting that they're out there saying, no, this is for AutoCAD folks. You know, this is for designers and engineers because they know the gamers are going to go buy it. They want to see if they can drum up any other interest. Project Valerie. All right. You know, I thought there was way less buzz about this than I expected when Intel announced it. It was their only real major announcement from the press conference yesterday to get picked up by folks. And they limited the number of people who could get into the press conference. Patrick Norton, Shannon Morse, and I got shut out because they wanted everyone to be in a comfortable seat with an Oculus Rift on their head so they could take them on a long journey of the various use cases of VR. But this is what we're going to be seeing by the end of this year. Last year, we're like, hey, by the end of this year, we'll have VR headsets. This year, it's going to be, by the end of this year, we're going to have self-contained VR headsets and wireless VR headsets. So this is a different take from HTC still connecting to a computer and making it wireless. This is sort of a step up more along the lines of HoloLens, saying we're just going to put the whole computer on your head. And yeah, it won't be able to do as much as an NVIDIA 1080 machine would be able to do, but we think we can do something worthwhile. It's augmented and it's virtual. There's the one where you can't see anything else in the world and one where you can. And mixed and merged and all of that is just trying to simplify when you do both. But honestly, augmented reality to me implies you could do both. All right, how about a couple products that are going to get here? Dell announced the XPS 27, an all-in-one PC with a 27-inch 4K touchscreen, 10 speakers, Windows Hello facial recognition for login, and an adjustable base that can tilt horizontal. That starts at $1,599. and is available to order now. There's also, and I think this one is the most intriguing of the two, the Dell Canvas 27. That's a horizontal 27-inch touchscreen. It's not a monitor you set up in front of you. It's meant to be set on the table, like a Wacom tablet, with QHD Adobe RGB support that can work with any computer. So you could plug it into a Mac, plug it into Linux, plug it into Windows. It comes with a digital pen and a dial. They called it a totem in the Ars Technica article, but it works with any computer, and it's very similar to the Microsoft dial. It also has two USB-C ports, one for charging, only a USB 3-port mini HDMI and mini display port. The Canvas starts under $2,000. They haven't pinpointed the price, but it will be available in March. Yeah, Roger, what's up? Yeah, and it's a cool adaptation to the Microsoft Surface Studio, which a lot of people, including Scott Johnson, said, hey, you know what? I could just buy that whole thing and replace my Cintiq, but I don't know. This says, hey, you don't have to replace the computer you're working on. Just replace the Cintiq. So, begun, the voice wars have. Well, it is the way I was looking at this is Ford announced it was part of Toyota's SDI, the open source program, and they're using that to enable Amazon voice services. So that's interesting. Ford's saying, you know what? We're going to support them all. CarPlay, Auto, Android Auto, Toyota's SDI, and through SDI we can put freaking Amazon voice services in your car, and you can talk to her and do all this cool stuff. Amazon voice services are everywhere at this show. That's the other thing to say here is like they're in the Ford, they're in the Huawei, they're in the Lenovo speaker. They are all over the place. And that's not to say that Amazon has won the battle, but they certainly are off to a lead. And we've talked a while about, you know, Amazon Echo seems to be the platform for the smart home. And that momentum kept up, if not sped up, at CES this year. Yeah. I mean, if you've got an Amazon Echo at home and you've gone to the trouble of having it work with your lights and your television and you buy a Ford and it's like, hey, you could also have it in the car and you can have, you know, and they're like, well, I should hook it into the garage. Like Amazon just creeps more and more. We all were waiting for the person to come up with the hub, right? That would connect the smartphone. Turned out it was just a slow takeover. Yeah. Google Assistant is also showing up in things, so this battle is far from over. And interesting to see IBM Watson on the car end of this. Starting January 22nd, T-Mobile will eliminate its older plans. All new customers will get the T-Mobile One plan with unlimited data, which no longer includes added fees. That means the amount advertised will be the total amount you pay. So if you're just one person, it's $70 a month, not $79.89 a month, because we threw in this tax and this fee. T-Mobile's like, we're just going to include the tax in the base price. $70 a month, you pay $70 a month. And here's the other part. If you use less than 2 gigabytes of data a month, you'll get a $10 credit on your bill. So this is addressing complaints of people who said, you know what, I don't want unlimited data. I don't use that much data. I do a little bit of email checking, and almost everything else I do is on Wi-Fi at home or something. Now those people can earn some money back every month. I mean, this is great, right? T-Mobile has essentially said, we're going to sell a 2 gigabyte cap for $60 a month. If you go over, it's $70 a month. Music to my ears. No, it's kind of crazy. The two parts of this. One is streaming services finally outperforming digital sales does not surprise me. We've been waiting for critical mass on streaming because streaming guarantees the amount of money someone spends. And so the music industry is going to have to come up with, like, how do we get more money out of the big fans, right? Besides just concerts. And there will be ways to do that. There already are ways to do that. And here they are. Physical albums, apparently. Well, you just sell them some vinyl. People are buying vinyl and not opening it. They're listening to the MP3s on Spotify, but buying the vinyl because they want to have the thing. Yeah. Yeah, and that I have been waiting for this moment to happen. One of the streaming sales to get enough that you can start to go, hey, guess what? Wondering if people are going to buy $120 worth of albums a year isn't as good as guaranteeing that they're going to keep paying $120 a year, as long as we can get enough of them doing it and accurately split up the revenues among us. And it seems like that's what's starting to happen. Vinyl, the unlikely hero coming to the rescue of, like, but how are we going to get those extra marginal sales if we're keeping people at a subscription level? Here you go. Hey, to get all the tech headlines each day in less than 10 minutes, subscribe to dailytechheadlines.com. Once again, big thanks to Rich Straffolino for filling in while I was at CES. Let's talk about some more of those press conferences from CES yesterday. NVIDIA is the big one, I think. Well, we're going to talk about Samsung and Sony a little bit too, but NVIDIA made a big play to get up on stage and tell people we are not just a graphics chip company. We make great graphics chips. They weren't trying to say they don't or steer you away from them, but they spent a lot of time talking about their other projects. They demoed a self-driving car called BB-8 that responds to voice control like, take me to Starbucks. NVIDIA also showed Copilot, an AI that will warn you to watch out for things like bicyclists, motorcycles, changing lanes, and other hazards. And if you were listening to yesterday's show and Roger's bemoaning of the nagging of cars, it's just, here's more examples of a car that can tell you to watch out. Hey, why are you driving? Look out for that bicycle. Audi will partner with NVIDIA to put its AI on the road by 2020. NVIDIA also announced GeForce Now, a cloud gaming service for Windows and Mac machines. Users will pay by the hour, starting at $25 for 20 hours, coming in March. The NVIDIA Shield TV is available for pre-order now at $200, shipping later this month. It supports Netflix and Amazon 4K HDR and YouTube, Google Play Movies, and Vudu in 4K. An upgrade in the coming months will add Google Assistant to the NVIDIA Shield TV as well. So here's Google starting to crawl back into that voice platform game. And finally, NVIDIA launched Spot, a $50 AI microphone similar to the Amazon Echo Dot that uses Google Assistant. It plugs into any electrical outlet, but you'll need a Shield TV somewhere on your network for it to work. It doesn't work standalone. It ties into the Shield TV and Shield TV's Google Assistant. Do you really see it that way for NVIDIA? Because all of these are things that they have been working on for a while. Like, this is the pot finally boiling for them. It's a car. It's not a movie. Yeah. Yeah, but NVIDIA's been moving into self-driving autonomous cars for a while. This is not, like, brand new. They just walked out and said, hey, guess what we do now? And that was the point of their press conferences, to take your reaction, which is a common reaction to NVIDIA, and say, no, we're serious about this. We've been making the chips that go in these cars. Well, and yeah, that's not an NVIDIA-specific issue, is it? Well, Toyota actually made a good point. When they were introducing the Concept I yesterday, one of their heads of autonomous car research said, this is Toyota up on stage, right? They're like, we are nowhere close to autonomous cars. Like, it's going to be a long time till we get to that level 5 autonomous car. So it was really interesting to see Toyota saying, settle down, everyone. Yes, we have some great technology, it can do some amazing things, and it's fun to watch, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. These cars aren't going to be out there driving themselves everywhere yet. Not for a while. It's a demo now. It's a conference pleaser to put some journalists inside a car that doesn't have a driver and let them move around in a parking lot. That's way different than having them on icy roads in northern Maine in the middle of winter going everywhere. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a really good point because being in autonomous cars is a different case. Being operating a cloud service for GeForce Now, which I think it's really clever to pay you by the to say play by the hour, because now it's coming to PCs and now I can play my Steam games. I can access them. They've been a little muddy on what that means, whether that means like all you got to do is log into Steam and you can play anything or if it requires some support. But it doesn't need to, and they don't care then because they don't need to pay you. They don't need you to pay per game if you're paying per hour. They just need you to be addicted enough to the service to want to keep buying more hours. So, and then like you said, Roger, home automation is exactly the play with the NVIDIA Shield TV saying, hey, instead of an Amazon Echo that's in your kitchen or your bathroom, we're going to be the thing in your living room that you want to watch 4K movies on and play video games over the GeForce Now service, and Google Assistant will allow you to talk to it and turn on your lights and your home automation stuff that way. Yeah, go ahead. Probably the biggest thing that came out of the Samsung press conference yesterday was the expected, we've had a very challenging year, and Samsung reiterated that they have finished their investigation into the Note 7, and there should be more coming on that by the end of the month. But they did not announce any details about the cause of the Note 7 problems here. They did announce two Chromebooks, though, and for fans of Chromebooks, they're pretty nice looking. The Chromebook Plus runs an ARM processor, and the Chromebook Pro uses an Intel Core M3, but otherwise they're pretty much the same. They have 12.3-inch 2400 by 1600 touchscreen displays, which you can flip around tablet style. They have 4 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs of hard drive, two USB-C ports, and a micro SD card slot, so no USB-A or B ports, no USB 3.0 ports. Headphone jack, 8 hours of battery life. They also come with Google Play pre-installed with Android Nougat support coming in the spring. The Chromebooks also have handwriting support in Google Keep and a stylus that slides into a slot on the side so you can do handwriting and take your notes in Google Keep. There's even a little machine learning magic to do autocomplete while you're doing your handwriting. And the Engadget reporter that tried it said it worked really smooth. It made it really easy to write notes on this machine. Chromebook Plus launches in February at $449. The Chromebook Pro is set for late spring, and they haven't announced a price on that one. Challenging. This is a challenging year. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a whole side thing. And it doesn't, we haven't talked about it because it doesn't weigh on their technology side, but doesn't help their year out at all to be pulled in. And yeah. Yeah, these are probably the best-looking Chromebooks I've seen in a while. They're solid. I would like to try them out and everything, but this is the showcase for using your Android apps on a Chromebook. Samsung also announced a gaming laptop called the Notebook Odyssey. There's a 15.6-inch and a 17.3-inch screen version. Mostly, they're giving us details on the 15-inch model. That has Core i7 Kaby Lake processors, 32 gigs of DDR4 RAM, solid-state drives up to 256 gigabytes, hard drives up to a terabyte, and shipping with the NVIDIA GTX 1050 GPU. Has one USB 3 slot, two USB 2, HDMI, and Ethernet. 15.6-inch version will start at $1,199 in February. They don't have a price or release date on the 17.3-inch one, but Samsung getting into gaming laptops also. Samsung. Now, that's the last of the Samsung announcements. Now we move to the Sony announcements. Yeah. I split up the Samsung announcements on you there. Well, I'll do all the Sony ones together. There's only three of them we're going to mention here. The XBR A1E Bravia 4K OLED TV. Sony getting in the OLED game, taking on LG with Dolby Vision HDR, running Android TV. Comes in 55, 65, and 77-inch sizes. TVs use the entire screen as a speaker for sound. Remember, we heard about somebody trying that earlier this week. Sony was demonstrating it at their booth. It can be wall-mounted or sit on the floor with a stand. Sony's UBP X800 Blu-ray player has 4K and HDR support available now for all consumers. It's pretty similar to the X100ES, which was only available through custom installations. Now everybody will be able to buy it. X800 can play UHD Blu-ray discs, stream in 4K from services like Netflix. It's coming in the spring, although they didn't announce a price. And Sony said, look, if that $13,000 short throw laser projector yesterday was too little for you, we have a short throw projector called the VPL VZ1000ES that can throw a 100-inch image on a wall from as close as 6 inches. It's 3 feet wide, weighs 77 pounds, and Paul Miller at The Verge pointed out that is actually 40% smaller than the current model of Sony's short throw projector. The VZ1000ES supports HDR, has 2,500 lumens, and will be available in April, Justin, for $25,000. Yes, make a note that you want to buy Justin the $25,000 Sony short throw projector if you're backing for that reason. Yeah, this is for people who have a lot of money to spend on a custom installation in a home theater, and they want to have the most impressive thing. And projectors are very good. They avoid a lot of the problems if you have the right situation. So, hey, a short throw laser projector, who cares if it's $25,000? I'm going to get the really good one from Sony is probably what rich people say. I have no idea. I've never heard anyone say that. Yeah. Which is resting on $100 bills. Hey, thanks to all those who participate in our subreddit. You can submit stories and vote on them at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. It does remind me, though, like back in the day, 2004, it was always like, somebody's got a 90-inch television. Well, somebody's got a 92-inch television this year. Oh, next year it was a 95-inch. And then they got above 100 inches and realized it wasn't worth the shipping costs just to have the bragging rights anymore. So now we're back to 100 inches because it's easy to bring that 77-pound short throw projector. By the way, JT0 in the chat room wins. It's 77 pounds. Of course it's short throw. It's hard to even pick up. Ba-ding-ching. Message of the day comes from Rich, who said, for someone who wants to roll their own cloud gaming, of course, we were talking about GeForce Now earlier, but on Monday with Patrick, or on Tuesday with Patrick Beja, we talked about Shadow PC and some other cloud gaming services. Rich says, I remember reading about someone making a decent gaming experience with EC2. Obviously, you're not going to get the same latency since you won't have whatever peering agreements, SP deals, or ISP deals that Shadow PC probably has. But for 53 cents an hour, it might be fun to try out. He's got a link to IG.io that details attempts to make your own cloud gaming service. Just installing your games. This will give you all your Steam games, right? Because you just access a virtual PC and install your games on. Yeah. Thank you, Rich, for that. And thank you, everyone, for watching. Thank you for supporting the show and allowing us to go to CES. Mr. Justin Robert Young, what do you got going on these days? Twitch used to be called? It was always Twitch. Well, there was Justin TV, but... Ah! It's like a preview. Like I said, we couldn't have done that CES show from Las Vegas yesterday with all the amazing people that showed up without your support to make the show happen. DailyTechNewsShow.com/support. We just ask you to go there and see if there's anything that you can do to pitch in and help make the show happen, even if it's just tweeting people about it. Big thanks to patrons Joe Keglevitz, Jason Stevens, and special thanks to folks like Sean M. Brown and Damian Mayers, who increased their patron pledges at patreon.com/DTNS. Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We're live Monday through Friday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern at alphageekradio.com and diamondclub.tv. And our website is dailytechnewsshow.com. Back tomorrow with Darren Kitchen and Len Peralta. Talk to you then. Boom. Went the dynamite. Good show. What should we call it? Barbara. Begun these voice wars have. I gotta stop using that one myself. Can be Michael Knight. Even he was Michael. What was his name before he became Michael? Michael Long. Schmapple. Just call it Schmapple. Yeah. No, I almost said that on the show, like about how Sprint used to be the ailing one and T-Mobile was dead. And now T-Mobile's like on the rise and Sprint is the dead one. That people say that about Sprint anyway. Yeah, T-Mobile's like, T-Mobile's dead. AT&T needs to buy them up, otherwise they won't survive. I know the FCC said no. The FTC may have also said no. He's a creep. That was the short throw projector. Like, you see the crazy thing at the show, and then 3 years, yeah. CES still a thing? Yeah. I mean, the funny thing, the cab driver laughed at me this morning on my way to the airport. He's like, "Oh, were you in town for business?" I was like, "Yeah, I was in town for CES." He's like, "Well, it's just starting today." I'm like, "Yeah, I know. Getting out while the getting's good." Yeah. Oh, man, I'm going to miss Colleen then. Damn it. I had a couple people text me today saying, "Oh, so you want to meet up?" I'm like, "Not there anymore. I don't have to be, so I'm not going to go." I am missing Showstoppers, which is too bad. That's always a good show. Yeah, and just see people. Yeah. Yeah. You just go where the wind blows. Yeah. "Yo, dog, I hear you like talking about CES." I'm tempted to use that one. Oh no, the yo dog's what makes it, isn't it? Yo dog. Oh, excuse me. Late in the afternoon, you know, this is later in the day than we usually do the show, so I'm kind of yawny. I'm not usually up this late. I'm not having my early bird special. I don't know what to call this episode. No, not CES. Fine. Voice Wars, a new trope. Hey, you know what? I think I might do that. I'm making the title. I don't think I've actually made a title in years. Oh, we should all be on a family plan together then. Yeah, Eileen and I are on T-Mobile too. And we were not on a family plan because she had to get hers paid through work, but her new job, they gave her a separate phone with a separate account, and it's not T-Mobile, so she needs a family plan. Yeah. Oh dear. Hey, your connection stayed through the whole show, Justin. Yeah. Keep you honest. Yeah. Right? Like places with unbundled systems where you could just be like, hey, it's the same pipes, but just give me another one. Good times. Great taste. Thank you for doing the later time. All right. Bye, everybody.